Chapter 19, Where to Get the Money. If you have your own money, then you are already well on your way to making a great return on your investment. If not, then you will have to start by brokering hard money loans or by borrowing money from various sources, then lending it out for a higher rate of return, and you basically make the spread. The spread is the difference between what you pay to borrow the money and what you make by lending it. Your yield is infinite because it's not even your money. Is this great or what? In this section, we will give you some ideas of places you may not have thought of where you may have some money, as well as some ideas of where you can borrow money too. There are many places you can go to find the money to lend in your hard money business, including retirement and other self-directed accounts, whether they are yours or you are using someone else's. How much money do you have in an IRA, 401k, health savings account, education savings account, annuity, certificate of deposit, stocks and bonds, lines of credit, and equity in your home or other rentals? Of course, having cash in your checking account, savings account, or mattress will work as well. Who do you know that may have the previous items mentioned? Are you an active or passive investor? What is your risk tolerance on investing? These are all questions you should be asking yourself prior to structuring your business model. Many people believe they do not have money or access to money to lend out. Often people believe their IRA, 401k, money market account, trust fund, or even their home equity lines of credit are untouchable. What is the interest you will be paying versus what you would be earning? Don't forget to count the points and underwriting cost. Others might feel safe knowing they have that nest egg of cash sitting idly in the bank, like my parents. My own business plan was written for me in Proverbs. I also remember reading something about how burying your talent is sinful. As a lender or any kind of business person, I run my business based on biblical, moral, and ethical principles. Sometimes that means giving up personal profit so others may prosper. We are expected to be shrewd with our money. Just like the word submit, shrewd is not a negative or bad word. Shrewd means having or showing sharp powers of judgment. Look it up. See, it doesn't mean evil or misleading. It means we are expected to be wise with the gifts and talents that we have been blessed with. Make sure that you are shrewd with your business plan. Your own cash. If you have cash in a savings or checking account and feel very safe and comfortable with it just sitting in the bank, then lending may not be for you. At least lending your own money may not be for you. There is a risk tolerance factor in everything you do, and it is imperative for all humans to sleep at some point in a 24-hour period. If you are not willing to take at least some risk, then investing in this type is not for you. You will want to use other people's money and keep yours in the bank then. Home equity line. If you have a home equity line or can get one, check the interest rate. You could be earning the interest difference between the rate at which you lend and the rate you pay, in addition to earning points and underwriting fees. Many of the markets have been bouncing back, and people don't always realize their primary home, second home, and or rental properties have gained in value. I never recommend having a first mortgage greater than 80% of the value on your primary or first mortgage and no more than 70% of the value on your second home or rental property. However, having a line of credit on every property possible should be a big priority for anyone. You only pay interest on what you use, and when you really need one, you can't get one. So explore that option with your local bank or credit union before you need it. Lines of credit. You may be able to establish a line of credit at a bank or a credit union to get you started lending hard money. This could be in the form of a personal or business line of credit. There are many sources for this. I would Google the term business lines of credit or business credit to see what comes up. Business credit. You could also apply for business and personal credit cards to use to fund some hard money loans. I would start with my own bank and ask them about any type of business or personal credit card that you may be able to qualify for. You can also do a Google search for business credit card or business credit. Private money. Using private money is one of the best sources you can use to fund your hard money business. You can set up your lending business one of two ways. You can broker loans using private money and just get the points, and the private lender earns the interest. Doing it this way, your lender will earn a better return and be dealing directly with the borrower for collecting the payments, unless you agree to service the loan for a fee, of course. Two, you can make the loan and keep the points and interest, and then pledge that loan as security to borrow the funds to close the loan from your private money lender and pay them a lower rate of return. Now, you will not only make the points, but a spread in the interest as well. You could pay your lender 10% and charge your borrower 15%. When using or borrowing private money, I would suggest that you work with experienced investors if you can, and you have them sign an investor agreement that spells out everything and gives them some disclosures to make them aware that they can lose money buying loans or lending you money. Private lender acknowledgement document. Next is the document that we have our private lenders signed that fund hard money loans for our borrowers. Private lender NCNDCA document. Here is a non-circumvent, non-disclosure, and confidentiality agreement document, again, that we have our private lenders sign just like our borrowers. Hold harmless and controlled business disclosure document. Here is our hold harmless and controlled business disclosure. This document is to prevent your private lender from suing you if their loan doesn't work out. I have also included in this document a controlled business disclosure. This just states that you own another company they may be doing business with and acknowledges it, so they can't come back at a later time and tell you they didn't know both were owned by you. On the forms disk, I have included a hold harmless with and without the controlled business disclosure. Where to find private money. I want to spend some time here talking about where to find private money lenders when you want to broker loans or you want them to lend you money and then you loan it out and make the spread, as previously mentioned. The first thing to remember is that anywhere you will find borrowers, you will also find people with money. So everywhere you look for borrowers, also look for private money lenders. There are entire courses written on raising private money. However, I will show you the fastest and easiest ways right here. Security laws. As you know, I am no attorney and do not want to be. However, I think it is a good idea to know some law in whatever you are doing. Many investors are concerned about security laws when making and borrowing private money and finding private lenders. As a real estate investor and hard money lender, you will probably not have to worry about security laws. However, having said that, there are certain things that could cause you to migrate into the area of securities. Also, because laws vary from state to state and change regularly, I would suggest that you consult a good securities attorney in your state before using any private investors to fund loans. The last thing you want to do is have to worry about the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, knocking on your door. There are a couple of main things you need to be aware of about security laws when lending and borrowing. One, how did you find the private lender? Two, how did you structure the transaction? How did you find the private lender? There are specific laws about what you can and cannot do to advertise to attract private investors. In the last few years, the laws have been relaxed. However, I would suggest you not do any public advertising until you know exactly what you can and cannot do. There should be plenty of people in your investing circles to start with, as well as your local RIA group and experienced investors already making private money loans for you to get started without advertising at all. How did you structure the transaction? One of the big things with securities laws is, are you selling or funding a loan or offering a security? Well, as long as you have one person fund one loan by themselves, then there should be no question that this is not a security offering, but the funding of one loan by one individual or company. Is a loan a security? There are, in fact, some states that say a mortgage loan is a security, so you need to be concerned about how you find your private lender and how you structure your transaction. If you always only work with people you already know or have a relationship with and only have them fund a loan themselves with no one else, then you should be fine. The SEC has left their definition of a security very broad. Before using any private lender, please contact your local securities attorney, maybe two, and get their approval of what you are doing before using private money. This is just my opinion, as you can do what you want, but you want to do good, clean business and stay out of trouble. Friends and family. So who is your ideal private money lender? In my opinion, it would be someone that you already know that has money and likes and trusts you. This may or may not be easy for you. As you are reading this, you are probably already thinking of some people you know with money that may be willing to let you help them make a better return on their money. Also, in talking about friends and family, I want to mention two more things. I would not borrow money from them or use their money to fund your borrower unless you were comfortable and confident you were making a good loan that will be paid back. You never want to put yourself in a situation where you feel bad when you're around them because you lost money for them. The second thing is never lend them money when you start your hard money business. If they can't pay you back, it will ruin the relationship at least until the transaction has been resolved. I bought my office building from a guy that loaned his daughter-in-law's parents money to be able to keep the building. When they couldn't pay, he foreclosed, and then he was a motivated seller just to get the whole transaction behind him. Public records. In my opinion, the fastest, easiest way to find a private lender that is already willing and able to lend money to you is this. Find other real estate investors in your area that are using private money. Now, when you go to your local RIA group meeting and start talking to other real estate investors and you find one that is using private money, chances are they will not tell you who they are using. That's okay, because all you need to do is to get their business card and then either go online or go to the courthouse register of deeds and look up their company name to find out any properties that have been purchased. Once you do that, then you will simply look on the mortgage or deed of trust documents to see who their lender is, and voila, there is your next private money lender. Think about it. If they are making loans to another investor, why wouldn't they either make a loan to you or be one of your lenders? Crowdfunding. Crowdfunding is usually for startups, and they want equity in your company, so this may not be a good option for you. However, I wanted to mention it here since most people are now familiar with the term crowdfunding. The next one will be what you want to use as hard money lender, looking for private funds. Peer-to-peer lending. Peer-to-peer sites such as Lending Club or Prosper.com are websites that match people who need funds with people who have money and are willing to lend it out. The way it works is the applicant sets up an account and posts how much they want to borrow and for what. Then other users can bid on loaning the applicant an amount of money. The applicant can accept or reject the bid. Then, once all of the amounts are added up and the total loan amount has been reached, the borrower gets their money minus a fee from the website. I know of many real estate investors that have raised money to buy houses and flip them. There is no reason you cannot raise money to lend out as hard money. There are even people on peer-to-peer websites that borrow money to lend to others on the website. Self-directed lenders in public records. A great source of private money is people that use their self-directed retirement account to lend money already. The question is, how do you find them? Well, when someone with an account at a self-directed custodian makes a loan, the loan is in the name of the custodian with the words FBO, then the account holder's name. For example, Equity Trust, FBO, Larry Goins, IRA. Here's what you do. You search online or at the county recorder's office for lenders with the name of a self-directed custodian. You can also search the keywords FBO and IRA. There are many custodians, however, you should simply search for the names of the largest ones. They are Equity Trust, Intrust, Camaplan, Kingdom Trust, IRA Services, Regal Assets, Advantage Gold, Sunwest Trust, Pensco Trust, New View IRA. So as you can see, there are many places to find private money. We have a complete set of documents that all of our private lenders sign when they fund a loan. I would suggest that you do the same. I have included in this course our investor agreements and hold harmless documents as well. Creating a fund. I know of many hard money lenders that have set up a private placement fund to raise money to lend out as hard money. Carolina Hard Money also has a $50 million fund that investors put money into, and then the fund makes hard money loans to investor borrowers. You could set up a debt fund, equity fund, or a combination of both. Setting up a fund is not something that you will start out doing. It is something that you will work your way up to. It can be very complicated and expensive to set up a fund. There is also strict regulation by the SEC. There are many disclosures required and specific types of investors that you can have invest in your fund based on how it is set up. For example, most funds I know of only work with accredited investors. An accredited investor is someone who has a specific income and net worth excluding their primary residence, according to the SEC. What does it mean to be an accredited investor? Under the federal security laws, a company or private fund may not offer or sell securities unless the transaction has been registered with the SEC or an exemption from registration is available. Certain securities offerings that are exempt from registration may only be offered to or purchased by persons who are accredited investors. One principal purpose of the accredited investor concept is to identify persons who can bear the economic risk of investing in these unregistered securities. Unlike offerings registered with the SEC, in which certain information is required to be disclosed, companies and private funds, such as a hedge fund or venture capital fund, engaging in these exempt offerings do not have to make prescribed disclosures to accredited investors. These offerings, sometimes referred to as private placements, involve unique risk, and you should be aware that you could lose your entire investment. Are you an accredited investor? An accredited investor in the context of a natural person includes anyone who A, earned income that exceeded $200,000 or $300,000 together with a spouse in each of the prior 2 years and reasonably expects the same for the current year, or B, has a net worth over $1 million either alone or together with a spouse, excluding the value of the person's primary residence. On the income test, the person must satisfy the thresholds for the 3 years consistently either alone or with a spouse, and cannot, for example, satisfy 1 year based on individual income and the next 2 years based on joint income with a spouse. The only exception is if a person is married within this period, in which case the person may satisfy the threshold on the basis of joint income for the years during which the person was married and on the basis of individual income for other years. In addition, entities such as banks, partnerships, corporations, nonprofits, and trusts may be accredited investors. Of the entities that would be considered accredited investors, and depending on your circumstances, the following may be relevant to you. Any trust with total assets in excess of $5 million not formed to specifically purchase the subject securities, whose purchase is directed by a sophisticated person or any entity in which all of the equity owners are accredited investors. In this context, a sophisticated person means the person must have, or the company or private fund offering the securities reasonably believes that this person has sufficient knowledge and experience in financial and business matters to evaluate the merits and risk of the prospective investment. How do I calculate my net worth? To qualify as an accredited investor under the net worth test, you must have a net worth that exceeds $1 million either alone or with a spouse. If calculating joint net worth with a spouse, it is not necessary that property be held jointly. Calculating net worth involves adding up all your assets and subtracting all your liabilities. The resulting sum is your net worth. In addition, any mortgage or other loan on the residence does not count as a liability up to the fair market value of the residence. If the loan is for more than the fair market value of the residence, i.e., if your mortgage is underwater, then the loan amount that is over the fair market value counts as a liability under the net worth test. Further, any increase in the loan amount in the 60 days prior to your purchase of the securities, even if the loan amount does not exceed the value of the residence, will count as a liability as well. The reason for this is to prevent net worth from being artificially inflated through converting home equity into cash or other assets. The table on the next page sets forth examples of calculations under the net worth test for being an accredited investor. The SEC recently adopted rules to permit general advertising for certain exempt offerings. You can find the SEC publication available here at www.sec.gov/investor/alerts/IASolicitation.pdf. If you plan to set up a fund and raise money to make hard money loans, then I would suggest you find a good securities attorney. There are also companies that will help you set up a fund for a fee. It is very expensive, but can be worth it. Self-directed accounts. If you have an IRA or any other type of retirement account, the first thing you should do is to turn it into a self-directed account. Whether or not it is a Roth account is not the point, but it is something you should research to discover the benefits of having a Roth versus traditional IRA or 401k. There are many companies you can choose to be the custodian of your account, and you can have more than one account. I have listed the ones I use in the next section. Be sure to call them, ask any questions that you may have about using them for your own account, as well as working with other clients of theirs to lend their money in your hard money business. They are all different in what they require from you as a lender for documentation. Some will want signed mortgages, deeds, and HUDs prior to closing, and some just want to preview them. All of them are more interested in keeping you in compliance than anything. One thing you need to be aware of when lending from any self-directed retirement, education, or health account is you cannot make a loan and require a personal guarantee from the borrower. In other words, you have to make what is called a non-recourse loan when using yours or anyone else's self-directed account. This is just one of the requirements to stay in compliance with the regulations of the IRS. So please keep this in mind and just know that you have to comply. Do not worry, as your custodian will help you stay in compliance with this. If they see you return a document that has a personal guarantee in the clauses, then they will reject it. However, you need to be aware in case they miss it. Do not get hung up on the paperwork involved in using a self-directed retirement account at this point. Each custodian has their own process and paperwork they use, and it is pretty simple. When the time comes, you will be able to do this. Checkbook IRA. Some of these firms may also offer a self-directed checkbook IRA account, which leaves you in the driver's seat with no guidance. Please be very cautious with this type of account. You would have to set up an account and then invest the money in the account into your single member LLC that has been set up. Even when you know the rules, they are constantly changing, so you really need to stay on top of yearly changes. Personally, I used to have one years ago, and even as an experienced investor, it makes me nervous that I might do what's called a prohibited transaction. So for this reason, I closed my checkbook IRA. I don't want to risk my account compliance and would not touch one now, especially since the annual report now requires information about investments involving single member LLCs. If you have a 401k with your employer, you should talk with your human resources department or custodian to see if you can self-direct it. Many plans are now offering the opportunity to invest outside of the company standards if you are vested with the company or if they have made policy changes. This information is sent out to employees in the memos and emails you intend to read, but never get around doing this. It is worth following up on and asking the questions. 401ks. If you own your own business, you may be able to set up a solo 401k or individual 401k. The advantage is that you can put a lot more money into it each year. You will only use this if you have no outside employees, as you must also make contributions for them as well. There is also a type of account called a Roth 401k. I would definitely look into this, as this would include the best of both worlds. You would be able to contribute a lot of money to the account each year, and it would grow tax-free. Simple IRA. We actually have a simple IRA for our business. I set it up this way because we have a lot of employees, and I didn't want to have to contribute to their retirement unless they did. This is what I like about a simple. If the employee doesn't contribute, then I don't have to either. My company contributes up to 3% of the employee's income each year as long as they contribute at least that much. So I tell all employees, if they want to double their money, just put in 3% themselves and I will match it. They can put in more if they want, as the limits are pretty high, but not as high as a 401k. Health savings account. Health savings accounts, or HSAs, are a great tool for paying for medical expenses. You have to have a HDHP, high deductible health plan, to qualify to have an HSA. You use an HSA to pay for medical expenses until you reach your deductible. The other great thing about an HSA is that you pay for your medical expenses out of pocket, then get reimbursed when you want, and there is no use it or lose it deadline. You can have an individual or a family plan, and of course, you can put more into the family plan. Education savings accounts. Education savings accounts, or ESAs, are a great tool for lending money and for growing your children's and grandchildren's education account. The good thing about an ESA is that you can use the money for qualified educational expenses from kindergarten all the way through college. You can even use it for private and Christian school as well. Another thing I like about the ESA is that if you have more than one child and the oldest one has money left in their ESA, you can roll it over to your younger child to use it for their education. Self-directed custodians. Below is a list of self-directed custodians that I know, like, trust, and actually use. I have many different retirement accounts and HSA and ESAs and use multiple custodians. There is no reason for this other than the fact that sometimes I will convert some traditional funds into a Roth in a given year, and that separates the accounts. I also like to diversify my accounts and business. Camaplan. I have been with Camaplan for years. I know the CEO, Carl Fisher, and he knows more about self-directed investing than anyone else I know. They are great to work with and have great customer service. They are also very fast if you have a deal that you need to close quickly. You can watch a webinar I did with Carl by going to www.larrygoins.com/IRA. There's also a link on that page to their website to fill out a short application and get the process started. They have a great education portal called Cama University, and it's all free. www.camaplan.com, 866-559-4430. Equity Trust. I've been with Equity Trust since it was called Mid-Ohio Securities back in the 90s. They probably have more money under management than any of the other custodians around. They are very knowledgeable and have a great website for managing your investments. You can make investments, make payments, request draws for your lenders, and more right from their website. They have been to many of my events as a vendor, and I've also spoken at their annual convention. Equity Trust also has a great education department and a large community of account holders. John Bowens is their national education trainer and is very good at helping people understand how self-directed investing works. I have done some training for their customers as well. www.trustetc.com, 855-233-4382. IRA Services. I have my kids' ESAs at IRA Services. I have used them for years. They are also very easy to work with. www.iraservices.com, 800-248-8447.